This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is a WTOP original podcast.
Coming up in this episode of Target USA.
Poland has broken up a major spy ring.
The Russians are using, you know, all elements of the dime, as we call it in the West, the diplomatic, informational, military, and economic means to get at the Western alliance, basically.
Colonel Ray Wojcik, a retired U.S. Army colonel living in Poland, talks about Russian attempts to try to sabotage the supply lines to Ukraine.
I mean, that thing is vital. That is the lifeblood of getting equipment to Ukraine is coming through Poland.
Coming up on this episode from WTOP in Washington, D.C., this is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.
I'm J.J. Green. I spent the last week on the road in Poland, which is why I wasn't here and there was no episode last week. And in the process of traveling from Warsaw to Szczecin to Krakow to Auschwitz, Birkenau to Markowa, and lots of other places, I learned a lot about Poland and Poland's problem with Russia. And we're going to address this most recent problem that surfaced in this episode, a spy ring that Poland has broken up. As mentioned, we're talking with Colonel Ray Wojcik, a retired U.S. Army colonel. Now he is a consultant with the Kosciuszko chain in Poland. One of the things that I've learned in having spent a little bit of time there about a week or so ago, now this is the 9th of September, having spent a little bit of time there, done a ton of research, talked to a lot of people while I was there, it appears as though Russia is stepping up its efforts to conduct what we call hybrid warfare inside Poland. I know you're familiar with all of that. I'm just interested in what your view as a person who lives there and a person who's a retired military officer, what's your view on what's happening there?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we have to maybe take a step back, look at what the Russians have been doing for, you know, almost a decade in this area of hybrid warfare. You know, long before we get to the kinetic wars in Ukraine 2014, and then, of course, again in 2022, the Russians are using, you know, all elements of the dime, as we call it in the West, the diplomatic, informational, military, and economic means to get at the Western alliance, basically, but also to infiltrate and make friends and basically separate allies in especially this region, and to prevent in many ways Ukraine from going the direction it was heading, which was closer to the West, potentially towards NATO and the EU. So that was part and parcel. The Russians were expanding all these sort of, as General Breedlove, if you know I'm talking about, former SACEUR, he always calls this the gray zone, or the below the belt, or below the Article 5 kinds of things. And that's the challenge for NATO and the United States, is because those kinds of activities, hitting at energy issues, hitting at coercive threats that are, you know, during military exercises, doing scenarios that are nuclear attacks on eastern flank allies like Poland. And then also using its influence previously, whether it was the G20 or other regional capabilities that the Russians have with their own alliances in Syria, to push back on the United States, to show that they had, you know, flexibility beyond this region. So in all those things, it kind of summarized, they were expanding their hybrid warfare capabilities and probing, basically. And as the probing went on, especially since 2014, they could see that there was a huge weakness in the U.S. and NATO response to what we were doing on the military front in the eastern region. And that led to, in my view, one of the key reasons Putin decided to make the attack in 2022 was he had done all this probing, used all these different elements of power, including the military. And then he could see that we weren't really bolstering the eastern flank of NATO in all those areas. Total defense, for example, is a term people talk about a lot with Finland, which has a really robust capability in involving the whole society in their approach to defense. That was not going on naturally, even in this region. It was getting better. Poland was significantly stepping up its own homeland defense capabilities, but nothing like the Finns had been doing really since the end of World War II. So the Russians saw that there were gaps in the alliance, gaps in these resilience capabilities, you could say, and started being more aggressive. And then now what they're doing, that the war has started, they're just taking that to other levels where they can find ways to break up, you know, in this case, they're attempting to find ways to break up this major logistics ring. I mean, that thing is vital. That is the lifeblood of getting equipment to Ukraine is coming through Poland. I think the last stat I saw on this is about 80% of the equipment's coming through Poland. So that's why it's really important for the Poles to protect it.
Yeah.
I'll stop my answer there. But yes, it's something the Russians have expanded over the years. And now that they're kind of in a box on their kinetic operations in Ukraine, it's something that we have to worry about, that they're going to be expanding in other areas in the alliance. There's a concern in northern Poland, what's going on at the Belarusian-Lithuanian-Polish border, and what the Russians might attempt there in sort of a hybrid way.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
How do people living in Poland, ordinary people, citizens, and people from other countries who live there, how are they reacting to this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one thing you can, you know, count on with the Poles is pretty much a homogeneous reaction to Russian aggression, because the Poles have had, you know, a horrible experience since the end of World War II, being occupied basically by Soviet troops until 1993. So even when the wall falls in 1989, it takes four more years before the Soviets finally leave here. So the taste is palatable in the mouths of the Poles of what it feels like and what it looks like to have Soviet troops in their country, because it's not that long ago, and most adults have some kind of contact with that. So to see what the Poles are doing in Ukraine to see what the Russians are doing in Ukraine, the atrocities, and then just the attacks on civilians alone, but not just that. It's these threats of nuclear warfare and these other things. That really rings true for the Poles, and they are doing everything they can without being on sort of full alert to be much more alert on their border and much more worried about what the next step is. And I'll just add two other things. Besides this rolling up the spy rings, you've had errant rockets or rocket attacks against Poland. A couple of Polish civilians have already been killed in the eastern parts of Poland from one of those interchanges. And so, you know, for the Poles, it's real. They're a frontline state. And the closer you get to the Polish border, the more real it is for those regions in Poland. But all Poles at some level feel that this is definitely something different and something of great concern because they're next door to Ukraine.
Is it obvious the precautions that the government has taken to deal with these threats of sabotage on the transportation system? There are supposedly concerns about possible terrorist plots
possible assassinations. Is it obvious? Does the average person see, or can you see any changes to the normal rhythm of life there because of these concerns?
No, I have not seen, you know, and I'm on the public transportation system quite a bit. So I have not, is in Warsaw, I haven't seen anything that would indicate there's anything more unusual going on than before. So I think so far, this one spy ring that they've rolled up a good chunk of it is small enough that the counterintelligence or the internal intelligence agency is the lead agency for this. And they're handling it in a very, least quiet way to the public. It's well known. It's published.
Yeah.
The recent capture of another criminal in this ring, is well known. It's on the net and the polls are publicized. I think the key thing for the polls is they want people to be aware this is going on so that the polls, if they see anything, they'll say something, to use the old American, kind of thing.
So, we've heard that this particular situation was the most serious activity in a NATO country since this war in Ukraine started. Do you get the sense that this is that big a deal? We may not know the underlying impacts of it, but I've been told that this was the most significant activity and significant concern in a NATO country since this war started, suggesting or telegraphing what Russia might be willing to do or desperate enough to do in other places.
Yeah, well, let's kind of go back to your point about some of the amateurish way that they went about doing this. So one thing you could take away from that is the seriousness of the activity may be not as serious as one might think. But the concern is, just going back to the hub, what we have at stake here in Poland is significant, and that's the concern. See, they can't take any chances. They have to address this in a robust way. And it's hard for me, without knowing a lot more details about how these guys were recruited and how they were sort of handled by the Russians. And it's interesting, you got Ukrainian citizens in this mix, you got Belarusian citizens, Russian citizens involved. So this is a challenge. One thing to keep in mind with this whole thing is Poland borders Russia. Poland borders Belarus and Poland borders Ukraine. So you got all that massive size of borders to worry about for some kind of infiltration.
Yeah, it's a very complex situation. And I can imagine that as time passes, the complexity will continue to grow. Colonel, thank you so much for taking time to talk about this. I hope we'll have some more opportunities in the not too distant future.
Great. Thank you so much, JJ. Great to be here.
That's it for this episode of Target USA. Coming up in our next episode, a few days in Poland, we start unpacking a trip that took us from Warsaw to Krakow to Auschwitz, Birkenau to Czeszów, and many other places in Poland, including what is now effectively the war zone. That's coming up on the next episode of Target USA. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments about the program, send me an email. You can reach me at jgreen@wtop.com. The letter J, the color green, one word, at Whiskey Tango Oscar Papa. jgreen@wtop.com. Also, please subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Twitter. We're at TUSA Podcast. That's at Tango Uniform Sierra Alpha Podcast. And if you want more national security news, you can sign up for my newsletter. It's called Inside the Skiff, and you can sign up at WTOP.com/email.
I'm JJ Green, and this is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.